And the energy of the letter is water, which is chesed, because water is the greatest, the highest level of manifestation of loving kindness, which is the energy of chesed in the world. And we learn that because water's essence is to share. Its essence is to spread out as far as it can go and just flow. You can actually hang up if you want because there's someone else came on. And in order to keep the recording going, we just need one person. The next letter we learned was the Resh. And the Resh has two meanings and it has two sounds, just like the Bet. Except that we don't really, Americans don't have the tongue to say the second sound of the Resh. But the meaning of the Resh is that either it's the head, the Rosh, or it's the lack, poorness. You finally reconnected. Are you okay? You can keep it on mute. You don't have to answer. I'm just assuming you're well. And in addition to the Resh, we learned the Hey. That was the last week. And the letter Hey, we went through that there's three ways to spell out the name of the letter Hey. We can spell it Hey Yud, Hey Hey, or Hey Aleph. And that changes the gematria. And it's also because Hashem's name is Yud Hey Vav Hey. There are different corresponding ways that we spell out Hashem's name that relates to the different sefirot. We didn't go into details. It's just part of the background. But the energy of the Hey is that of the physical world. But it's also the energy of the spiritual world, the higher level of world, the world of mental of acuity. In the physical world, there are seven lower sephirot, which is why there are seven notes in music, why there are seven colors in the rainbow, why there are seven continents, why there are seven seas. The seven lower sephirot relate to the emotions. This is the world of actions, because we are in this world to correct our emotions, to have our intellect, which is not in this world, it's a higher level of spirituality than our, even what we would call the seven heavens. In this world, we are to make tikkun on our emotions. We're to learn emotions change. They're an illusion because they change. That's just one of the aspects that we need to learn. If you attended last at the Nila service, which you didn't, but I spoke probably 20 minutes on the Tree of Life and how it relates and what is our tikkun and what this year is like. So our next letter that we're learning is the Ayin. Joyce, I don't know if you can see this. And I keep turning it. Yeah. Okay. The Hebrew letter Ayin is the 16th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It is another letter that makes no sound in modern Hebrew. The numerical value of an Ayin is 70. These are attributes of the letter Ayin. It's a little strange. If you look closely at the way it's shaped, it's made with two other letters. I am not telling you those letters yet.
Good.
But why do you care whether it's the 16th letter or the first letter? No. We care where the letter exists in the order of the alphabet, because that's another form of gematria. You have a word, echad, aleph, chet, galed. Their number values are the same as their order values. That's unusual. Aleph is 1, it's the first letter. Chet is 8, it's the 8th letter. Dalet is 4, it's the 4th letter. So the gematria, the regular gematria, is 13. The order of the alphabet gematria is 13. But if I give you the word maim, which is water, mem, yud, mem, mem is the 13th letter, but its value is 40. Yud is the 10th letter, its value is 10. So the gematria of maim is 90, 40, 10, 40. But in the order of the alphabet, it's 13 plus 10, which is 23, plus 13 is 36. Water, as I said earlier, is chesed. 36 is the number of revealed tzaddikim. 36 is 2 times 18. 18, we all know, is chai. Chai is life. But we live two lives, don't we? We have the life of the body and the life of the soul. We're striving to become righteous, to be tzaddikim. Mayim, which is loving kindness, which is chesed, is the tool to arrive at the two lives, the resurrection of the dead, which is the life of the soul and the life of the body reunited. Now the ayin is, we're being taught again as Americans, we're being taught that the ayin is silent. But is it really silent? We learned with the aleph that it's the sound of the inhale. I can't exhale, I can't make a sound unless I inhale. But the ayin has a sound. But we can't really make it. As Americans, we don't have a letter that sounds the same way. It's a guttural ah. Guttural ah, it would be ha. It's not ha, it's ah. But said at the back of the throat, aw. I'm not doing it. Correct. We can't say it. As Americans, we've never learned it. You want to sit where you can see it?
Oh, sure.
You're entitled. It was a lot of energy yesterday. we're looking at the letter Ayin. We started a little late as well.
Okay.
And if you'll look at the bottom here, the spelling of the letter is Ayin Yud Nun. So how do we pronounce that? Ayin. 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 Except that, as I said, Americans, our throats are not trained to make the sound. And in fact, the Ashkenazis, the German Jews, but really the European Jews, don't make the sound properly either. It's only the Sephardic Jews who are used to it when they're taught to pronounce it. It's part of the languages around the Mediterranean. They have the sound. It basically in North Africa and in Iraq and Iran, all of the Jews who came from those areas, their languages have that sound, so they're used to saying it, and they learn it as children. Even if they don't learn Hebrew as a first language, when they start to learn Hebrew, they're able to make the sound. So we call it a silent sound. When you see it in a word, you just put the vowel that's forth on that letter as the sound. To draw the ayin, it's two strokes. One down and across, and the second one down. Except, look at the letters on the computer. The right letter, the right arm, is a nun. If you look at it, you can see the nun, but it's not standing straight. It's slightly to the right. And the second letter is a vav or a zion. It's just that straight line. So the letters that compose the ayin are the nun and the zion. The essence of the Hebrew word ayin, it means your eye, E-Y-E. It's a singular. We have an eye, but we actually have eyes, don't we?
Second part of the letters from above.
It's either a vav or a zion.
The ayin and the tzadish look alike.
That's correct. They do look alike. And when we get to it, and actually in another minute or two, I'll be explaining, showing you the two next to each other and discussing. The first stroke starts at the top right. It angles down slightly, and then when it hits the line, it goes to the left, and it gets to the bottom. The second line is just a straight line, but it's creating a vessel. It creates a space between the two lines. Trudy? The space between the two lines. It's not a triangle, because you'll see that the line doesn't hit the corner. But it's a vessel. It's something. It's holding. Right now it's air. It's empty, but it could be. And that's the visual image to remember. The essence of the ion is wisdom, because the I in the physical body is connected to the consciousness of Chokhmah. Sense of sight. Where do you connect to wisdom? How do you connect to wisdom? If somebody is reading to you, they're using their sight to teach you. When you learn to read as a child, you're using your sight to teach you. In the Talmud, it says that someone who is blind is dead. Why are they saying that? It sounds harsh, doesn't it? It's really not harsh. It's describing, if you cannot gain wisdom, what is your purpose in life? So, you're still living, but are you really living if you're unable to gain wisdom? And that's why it says what it says. The Talmud. If you ask a Kabbalist, it will be metaphorically. If you ask someone who's blind from birth, it's a question. What is the purpose? What is their tikkun? Their tikkun is they cannot learn wisdom because they cannot see. Now, of course, we have Helen Keller as an example. She had no senses. She couldn't hear. She couldn't speak. She couldn't see. And yet she gained wisdom. So we are able to learn in many ways. But there are many people, which we call Am Haaretz, people of the land. It's an idiom meaning ignorant. There are many people who are ignorant that in the Middle Ages, more so than today, would think of a blind person as dead because they had no technology to help. Braille wasn't developed until the 1800s, 1700s, I believe. So,
remember the film Casey TV show?
Vaguely. By the doctor, I believe.
Yeah. Some of the time there was a neurosurgeon, part of the time it was a psychiatrist.
Well, which makes a perfect connection.
Yeah. But there's one episode where there was this blind Orthodox boy. She was blind, he couldn't have a bar mitzvah.
Right.
And there was also a priest who was a patient, a Roman Catholic priest, who knew Hebrew. And he wanted to prepare the boy
for his bar mitzvah,
with Braille.
And today that would be acceptable. In certain traditions. But that's, when I teach, I'm giving you information. It's how you evaluate the information yourselves. It was a good question you asked about whether it's a metaphor or whether it's physical. And it depends on your choice. How do you see someone who's blind? We know that Isaac, the Torah tells us Isaac's eyes were dim as he aged. And there's all kinds of explanations as to why his eyes became dim when he aged. Many of us have had cataract surgeries, which is another way of saying our eyes became dim. When you read the explanations or the justifications, why was Isaac dim? There's a lot of depth to it. But essentially, one of the many explanations is his eyes became dim because of the binding, that he became frightened that he would be dying. It's a midrash. And his soul left his body, and his soul had to be put back in his body, which was the first resurrection of the dead. One of the reasons that Isaac is considered the soul after the resurrection, after the Mashiach. But it also is a saying his eyes became dim because he no longer could see the physical, but he was able to sense and see the spiritual. And after the Mashiach comes, we as human beings will be able to see spiritual as well as physical. But in that sense, that can be a meaning of the word dim, the Hebrew word that gets translated as dim. You're not blind, but you don't see as well. But you do see as well if you are able to see past the illusion, to see what is truth, what is real. We're all going to enjoy what happens after the resurrection. Our eyes will be dim, just like Isaac's, meaning we'll be able to see the spiritual as well as the physical.
Some would have been depending on where they are.
The question you're asking is a good question. What we are told that immediately after the Mashiach, the world will not change except for one thing. The children of Israel will no longer be dominated by the other nations. But everything else will remain the same and continue to grow and develop. As that happens, there will be a period of time where there will be children, and then their children will come to an end because there's no need for the souls to come down. They will all have been brought down. Israel is the center of the world, but it's not just in Israel. There will be no reason for other nations to bring children either, because they will have reached the zenith of this cycle of 7,000 years. Zenith for them. Will there be people in a hierarchy? Are there people in a hierarchy today? Then there will be that same hierarchy. But eventually, as people are able to perceive the spiritual, they'll be able to look at a person and see the essence of the person. And they will realize that that person is really part of them. And the hierarchy will no longer be important.
Well, they feel it, like in the spiritual, realm. It's like expression on a person's head. But if you feel it, oh, bless you.
The
but they feel it.
Yes.
Right.
And what is the difference between sight and feeling? Which is higher, feeling or sight?
Well, you said sight, but I think you can feel the energy. You know, are not born without sight. That's a different story now.
There are emotions, and then there are feelings. And in English, and in modern language, we we indicate them as being synonymous, and they're not. You have emotions. Emotions are reactive.
But I was talking about energy.
On energy, when you perceive the energy, I'm not using the word sight, but in English we would use see as perceive. When you perceive the energy, it's at a higher level than the physical senses. When you have your meditations or you have the dreams, as we discussed earlier, okay.
Seek energy, inspire man. No, I just didn't.
There's feelings.
Right.
And there's emotions.
Emotions are reactive.
Feelings are on a higher level than even intellect. There are five levels of soul. The lowest level is the nefesh, the animal soul. Then there is the ruach, which is called spirit. That's the translation of ruach. Then there is neshama, which is typically translated as soul. But it's the consciousness level. Then there is chaya, which is higher than soul. We call it spiritual, is the typical English translations. And then there is Yechidah, which means unified. And that is the highest level. Now, let's put that in another frame. There is physical. There is emotional. There is intellect. There's two other higher levels. One is feeling, and one is unification.
Unification.
The endless world, the one vessel.
Universal.
Correct. Where, in essence, there are no longer individuals. There's only potential for individuals.
So in yoga, like say Meryl Scanlon, and you say you ask God to lift their spirit to the soul to another level.
Yes.
Is that the highest level five that they can be lifted to?
Unity is the highest level.
So even after all these years that they get lifted, you still say that prayer, and they could be on level five. So you're asking for them to go to another level.
If they were on level five, you would know and you would stop saying the prayer.
You would stop saying the prayer.
Yeah.
How did you know it?
You feel it.
Yeah. Takes a long time to get to level five, I think.
But it is doubtful that there's ever been a human being except maybe Moshe, who's ever been on that level. And Moshe didn't die, even though the Torah says he died. We don't know where he was buried. He didn't die. He lives in every generation. There is a spark of Moses' soul in every generation.
Like a spirit, like an energy.
Like Elijah coming to Seder.
He comes to every Seder, and he also comes to every Brit Milah. He's invited to every Brit Milah. You mentioned it earlier. This is showing the Ayin and the Tzadi. I'm going to turn it the other way so they can get a sense. They look similar. And when when you're reading it in Hebrew, and we will eventually, when we get more of the letters under our belt, we will start with reading. And you'll see the words that have ayin, and you think it's silent, but it's really a tzadi, and it has the sound of a TZ, which Americans can't say. Tzadi. Some people try it with TS, but it's really TZ. And I'm just saying it, if you say a TS, don't worry about it. It's well accepted. But in Israel, the sound is tzadi. Any questions about the difference in the shape? We had this before. There were two other letters. We had it with the bet. And we had it with the hey, which could be confused with a dalet if you don't see that lower leg, that left leg. What is the essence of the ayin? What's the energy of the ayin?
With I.
I. And does that relate to wisdom? How many eyes do we have?
10, 3.
Well.
There's one here.
How do you know it's there? Joyce is pointing to the third eye as being in the middle of her forehead, above the two. Why would it be that way? Why wouldn't it be in your nose?
Well, right. So, some connection there, but that's.
When you point to the middle of your forehead, what are you showing of a relationship among the three eyes?
Brain is right there.
No. A geometrical figure.
Triangle.
It's a triangle. Where else do you see a triangle in Judaism? It's not in the letters. But you're welcome in the Jewish star. It's made of, it's composed of two triangles. One with its top going up, one with its top going down. And when you move them together, one overlaying the other, that's where the 6 points come from. What you're saying here is that the top triangle of the Star of David is composed of the eyes, which is another way of saying it's related to God is atop and the people are below. That's what the triangle represents, the upper triangle. The other triangle, the one that says the people are above and the point is below. We're never saying God is below, but who is below?
Devil.
Some people say that. It isn't necessarily true. But if you move them together, Hashem is in control. And what is the 7th point in the Jewish star?
7th
point? Mm-hmm. The center, the plate. Exactly. This Jewish star is a tree of life glyph. You're familiar with the term glyph. You're not familiar with the term glyph, but it means a diagram. The Jewish star and the tree of life glyph, which is the 10 circles and the 22 lines, They're both describing the tree of life. The Jewish star is describing the tree of life in the physical frame, because it doesn't have any of the mental, intellectual sephirot. Those are the upper three. Those do not exist in the physical world.
Tree of life is the Jewish star is the tree of life
in a physical form. Don't be confused by that word physical. It's really in a protection frame, a frame of reference of protection. That's why it's called the Shield of David. I don't mean to be offensive.
Yeah.
Yud hey, vav hey. The lower hey is physical. It is our physical world. But it's not. Our physical world is below the malchut consciousness. But where is Malchut consciousness? Malchut means kingdom. Where is the kingdom? Is the kingdom on earth? Not yet. When the tikkun is completed, the kingdom of God will be on earth as well, as where it is now. Where is it now? It's above heaven. It's the Yud-Heh. But the Vav is the six points of the star. The letter Vav has a gematria of six. It's a straight line, indicating our purpose is to find balance, find that straight line. Wherever we are, there are seven heavens. Then there's the physical world below it. So is it physical? Is the Star of David physical? No, but it's the human consciousness creates that physicality. Does the earth exist if human beings didn't exist? You've heard the same question asked. If a tree falls in the forest and nobody's there, did it fall?
Or still be around. Tree falls and no one's there, does it make a sound?
Same question. And the answer that you're saying is clearly yes to you, but not to others. You were created by God and your parents. Others who have a different idea, different answer, are created by God and their parents. Both are correct.
Right? Both are correct.
Yes, but we won't know this.
In today's generation, I'm not sure that that's still true. I'm just joking. So, I was going to go ahead and do the next letter, but we really don't have the time. When you're having fun, and you can see, it's not just learning the letters. It's, as Sheila told you, I go into a lot of other details and explanations.
Very much so.
So I hope you all had an easy fast and are looking forward to connecting to certainty with the sukkah. And I recommend that you spend some time in the sukkah starting Sunday night.
Where is the sukkah?
Between the buildings outside?
You know where the patio is in the garden?
Uh-huh.
It'll be transformed into a sukkah. But you need to be careful. It's actually two sukkahs, because there's a space in the middle that does not have the sath, does not have the top. So sit under the two sides, and you'll notice the difference in energy.
Just come in anytime.
The mitzvah is to live in the sukkah.
Yeah.
You should sleep there. I don't know anybody who's going to do that in this building, but that doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it. When I was younger and healthier, not that I'm still healthy. Sorry I said that. When I was younger and when I was beginning to study Kabbalah, when Sukkot came, there would be 70, 80 people sleeping in a sukkah, the same sukkah. I built sukkahs at my house and I slept there. I ate there. I studied there. I was never in my apartment except to shower and change clothes and go to the bathroom. But exactly. Yeah.
I have to run.
Be well.
A rabbi told me one time that it's.
Are there any questions?
Questions.
Are there any questions from the conference call?
No questions.
Thank you, Brandy. You have a beautiful day. I hope you had an easy fast.
Had an easy fast, but I fell yesterday. And we're going to start building the sukkah. We'll get it all together today.
All right, but your fall was, are you all right?
Yeah, I'm kind of bruised up, and my skin was scraped. But like I told Rabbi yesterday, if that's the worst thing that happens to me for Yom Kippur, I'm okay.
Baruch Hashem. You have a good day. May
you
have a Ruach Shlema. And never
Thank
fall
you.
Again.
Thank you.